Well, praise the Lord. Open up to Acts chapter 1. This is another one of those days where when I woke up, the lesson was already going. My job is to not lose what he was saying. And I mainly have verses on this page. I have a few little comments. This is the year of power. And I keep, I don't like to use the phrase, I keep telling the Lord. How many of you found out it's not good to tell the Lord? I keep suggesting to the Lord that this probably is a message that ought to wait until the conference. But apparently his conference has already started, you know. So I don't know what he's going to do during conference. But these verses, I have them in the sequence that they were coming over and over again this morning to me. And so I did hear him say, go slowly. Go slowly. So whether we get all these in or not, I don't even care. But what matters is everyone that we do touch on. Is that he has his mind spoken, okay? So Acts chapter 1, and being the year of power, I would think this would be a good verse, Acts 1:8. But you shall receive what? You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And, now see, when someone says and, it means they are not through talking yet. It is important to wait around to see what's behind the and. If I tell you I'm going to give you my car and you run off right there, you're going to miss the part where I said, and it's only going to cost you $400 a month. It's important to hear what's behind the and. So he says you're going to receive power. But there's a reason for that power. And it's not to build your ministry. I got a few little groans there. Going to receive power, and you shall be my witnesses after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, it's important here. We don't spend enough time sometimes in these verses. Notice the progression here. First off, who is he talking to? He's talking to people that he's appeared to after he's been raised from the dead. One of the writers tells us he appeared to more than 500 people after he rose from the dead. How many were in the upper room, people? 120. I've always wondered, where were the rest of them? You know? But he says this to people. They're standing there seeing him raised from the dead in his glorified body. And he's given them very specific instructions. He says, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. And you shall be my witnesses. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea. I don't think they had a problem with that because that's the Jews. Everyone he's speaking to right there are Jewish. They didn't have any problem with that. Yes, yes. We'll witness and testify of you in Jerusalem and Judea. Not a problem, Lord. But then he says, and in Samaria. Now, if you do a little research on Samaria, you'll find out that the Samaritans were despised by the Jews. Samaria had been conquered long ago, and on purpose, the king had arranged interracial marriages. And it's not because it was interracial, it's because he was mingling other gods with the people. That's what it was about. So the Jews looked upon the Samaritans as half-breeds. If you want to, in modern terms, that's what we would say. They're like half-breeds, they're not pure Jews. They were literally despised. That whole story where Jesus was coming back to Jerusalem one time and they were passing through Samaria, you know, and they wouldn't rent him a room. See, the common practice at the time, Jews didn't pass through Samaria when they traveled in that direction. They would cross Jordan, go around Samaria, then cross back on the other side when they got far enough where they wouldn't be in Samaria. That's how divided it was. They despised the Samaritans. But Jesus has given them a preview of what's to come. This gospel is not just for the Jew. This gospel is for the Jew, for the Samaritan. I wondered what their ears thought, if ears think. I wondered what they thought when they heard. And for the Samaritan? What? We're supposed to witness for you in Samaria? And if that's not bad enough, and to the uttermost parts of the earth. Well, that's all the Gentile nations. It's amazing to me that even, you know, who was Peter standing here this day? For benefit? Yes, he was. Nobody's saying, yes, he was there. He was one of them that was hearing this. Yet God had to appear to him years later, and my chronological Bible said it was roughly 10 years later. Appeared to him on the rooftop. Had to have a vision so strong it knocked him over. You know, so not one of those many visions where you can continue doing. He fell over in a trance, it says. God had to let that sheet down three times. It was had all those creepy, crawly, unclean things, you know. And the voice said, rise, Peter, kill and eat. No, no, Lord, nothing unclean, no. Call not that unclean which I have cleansed, says the Lord. See? So three times, and what he was doing was preparing him. Peter was the first preacher, the first evangelist, the first apostle to preach the gospel to the Gentiles. And that was at Cornelius' house. But see, he was there this day. And Jesus had already told him, no, this gospel is going to be bigger than just for the Jews. This is to the Samaritans. This is for the most despised people. I don't care what, I used to say this all the time, I don't care what slime, or Dave used to, I guess I got it from him. I don't care what slimy rock you crawled out of. Whatever you crawled out from under, whatever you did last night, whatever you did this last year, I don't care what kind of depravity you've sunk to. I don't care what you've been in. The gospel is for you. The gospel is for you. He come to rescue you and save you and bless you and build you up. That's good stuff. Now, from there, go to Matthew 28. We're looking at the last instructions that Jesus gave through the various gospel writers. I love hearing pages turn. I don't know, probably a few more years we won't hear any more pages. It'll all be taps on phones and iPads. But that's okay, I do it myself sometimes. So let's look at Matthew 28, and we'll start in verse 18. Actually, we'll start in verse 16. Then the 11 disciples went away into Galilee. Say 11 disciples. Say 11 apostles. Because we know who these are, right? Then the 11 disciples, the apostles, they went away into Galilee, into a mountain where Jesus had appointed them. He told them where to go. And when they saw him, they worshipped him, but some doubted. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Now here, the Greek word is exousia. This is authority. This is all authority, both in heaven and in earth. Adam was given authority on the earth. Jesus has authority in heaven and the earth. And not only that, he has all authority in heaven and earth. And because of that, he says, go ye therefore, because I have that authority, I'm commissioning you. Now, who's he talking to? Say 11. 11 apostles. Go you, therefore, you 11 apostles, and teach all nations. How many? Does he say go and teach the Jews? All nations. He's here again. He's telling them again. The fact that this is Gary, okay? What I'm about to say is Gary, okay? So don't, you know. I'm a little bit astounded that Peter, that he had to have a vision so strong years later, because Peter still didn't understand this. He would not have gone with those Gentiles. He would not have gone to Cornelius' house without that vision on the rooftop. But I'm finding again and again, Jesus told them, this gospel is for everybody. This gospel is for everybody. It's for all nations. He says it here again. Baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. Okay, good. That's evangelism, is that not? Evangelism, get them saved, get them baptized. But now notice, you don't stop there. Teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, alway, even unto the end of the world. He does not say, go and teach a different gospel of grace that I shall only give to Paul. And the reason I'm saying that, there is a radical grace going around right now. And at this point, I'm still not going to say names, but you probably already know. And they're almost Jesus Jr. to some people. And they're taking it to heart. But I'm telling you, by the authority of the Word of God, you beware anybody who tells you that the teachings of Jesus were only for the Jews, and that they do not apply to the church today. That is heresy to the 10th power. And I don't care if you're on TV every 30 minutes in Tulsa, Oklahoma. I don't care if your church has 20,000, 30,000, 40,000. That is heresy to the 10th power. Paul would never agree that he was preaching some different gospel of grace than Jesus himself taught. Jesus says, you go and you teach them what I taught you. And I'm telling you right now, Paul did the same thing. Paul was taught by the same Holy Ghost you're taught by. And Jesus would appear in visions. He says, the Lord, you know, we know how he got saved even. Jesus appeared to him in a vision. But that's all by the Holy Ghost. Paul did not have some different gospel of grace than Jesus had. The law came by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. And Paul is one of the preachers of it. You beware anybody. This was going on even in the first century. This is why Jude had to write his letter. He says they're denying the Lord. They're denying our Lord teaching that the grace of God is lasciviousness, that it covers it. It does not. God's grace empowers you to rise above it. It's quiet, but it's good teaching anyway. I don't care. So I'm going to say it again. Beware those, whether it's in book or TV or any form. I don't care. And I don't care if the whole world goes after them. I'm not going after them. And I don't believe you're going to go after them. But beware anyone who tells you or teaches that the teachings of Jesus was only for the Jews. That is not what he said. He says, I'm commissioning you to go and teach what I taught you. And he did the same thing with Paul. Paul would, if it's possible to roll over in your grave, he would roll over in his grave. I mean, I wonder what he, I mean, if he made that one guy blind, that, what is it, Elymas the sorcerer? If he made that guy blind, what would he do with those that says he was preaching a different gospel than Jesus Christ? I don't think they want to meet Paul. Anyway, quiet in here now. It's dangerous stuff, and it's heresy, people. It is flat out heresy. He says, you teach what I taught you. There's only one head of the church. His name is Jesus Christ. He is the Word of God. Pure, undiluted, undefiled. Heaven and earth will pass away, but his word will never pass away. And I don't care how many pulpits you have. I don't care how many stations you're running your program. If you're preaching that we're not supposed to listen to what he taught us, you're a heretic. And he will not confirm that word with signs following either. Now, you may have some gifts operating, but that's the difference from confirming the word. Speaking of confirming the word, go to Mark 16. We're going to look at the final instructions here that he was given to the church by all these different authors. Witnesses, really, that were there. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Okay, I got that. Yeah, I got that. Okay. So Mark 16, starting in verse 14. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. Say 11. I've got a reason for this. Now, these are the same 11. This is the same time. This is just Mark's version, Mark's account. Afterward, he appeared unto the 11. This is the 12, as they sat at meat. And he upbraided them with their unbelief and hardness of heart, because they believed not them which had seen him after he was risen. Matthew just said some of them doubted. And he said unto them, go, here we go again. Go ye only to the Jews. Go ye into all the world. All the world. That's all the Gentile world. They got their commission right there. And preach the gospel to every creature. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach the gospel. What gospel is he telling them to go preach? The same one he preached to them. Not something different. Not something watered down. Not some mamby-pamby, man-made religion, sliding, greasy, gracing. Same gospel he preached. That's the one they're supposed to preach. And don't you add to it. Don't you take away. Am I preaching good, baby? I'm preaching all right? Okay, good. She loves me right there. She'll also tell me if I'm doing it wrong. She'll go, In love, though. In love. She'll do it in love. Go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be damned. Now, before we go any further, because we're going to put to bed this thing right now about are all apostles? Well, of course not. Do all work miracles? Or I think it says, are all miracle workers? No, not in that sense of that's your common practice all the time. Do all have gifts of healing? And the answer is obviously no. God does in the body. He has people that they specialize. That's their gift, what he's given them. But see, people, preachers will take that and they'll nullify his ability to work power through you. He'll say, see, that's only for the apostles. And many of them, where I grew up, they said it was only for that first century. And when the apostles died, then that was the end of it. And I was listening to Dave one day. Dave was saying, he was giving the example. You know, John finished out his life in Ephesus. Timothy was the pastor there. So one day, this is a Davism, okay? One day they had a big healing line, and Timothy says, well, I'll start at the far end. John, you go down at this end. And John was elderly at this point. They say he was over 100 years old. I don't know that for sure. But so, you know, Timothy's coming from this end, and they got a big long line. They can't really hardly see each other. You know, the line is so big, and Timothy's praying, and John, the apostle John, and John's the last one, you know, he's the last one alive, last apostle, last of the 11 that's still alive, you know. So Timothy's praying, pow, splat, in the name, healings happen, people are getting saved, people are getting filled with the Holy Ghost, pow, splat, healed, legs growing out, it's wonderful. And all of a sudden he prays and nothing happens. Nothing happens at all, there's no power, nothing. Huh? Goes on to the next one, he prays, nothing happens. No healing, no nothing. He's going, what's going on? And somebody whispers in his ear, John just died. That's it. It's over. Isn't that ridiculous? That set me free forever. Thank God for our pastor, Dave Roberson. That set me free right there forever. It's the same way he did with the gold dust, and he set me free forever from that one day. I mean, when that was running rampant, and maybe it still is in some circles, you know, the gold dusting coming and everything. He says, can you find anywhere in Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John where Jesus come by and sprinkled gold dust on them and left them in the wheelchair? Yeah, here's some gold dust for you. I'm leaving you in the chair, but here's the gold dust. There's no such thing as, you keep your gold dust, get me out of the chair. Somebody says, I remember Dave doing this, somebody says, well, it's a type of the glory. I don't want the type. We're after the glory of God, the power of God. Get them out of the chair type power of God. I don't want the type. We're supposed to be living not in the shadow, but in the real. The shadow's for the Old Testament. We're living in the real. Christ in you. Christ in you. Hallelujah. Praise God. I'm preaching it. Somebody said, preach it. I am. Best I know how. Now notice, let's back up just a little bit. Verse 14 again. He appeared unto the 11. Who is he talking to? This is okay. You're safe. The 11. What is he? And he's telling them to go preach to everybody. So you got preachers and you got hearers, right? And he tells them what to preach. I want you to preach the same gospel that I preach to you. So the 11 go and they're preaching. And we're going to see here in a minute that as they preach this word, the Lord worked with them with signs following. But now notice in verse 15, go ye into all the world, to the 11, I want you to go into all the world and preach the gospel. That's the preachers. He that believeth, that's the hearers. He that believeth, isn't that us? They're the 11, I'm commissioning you to go preach it. But then we're on the other side, we're the hearers. And for those that believe what they hear, not only are you saved, but then he says, verse 17, and these signs shall follow them that believe. Is that the 11? Or is that the hearers? That's the believers that heard it. These signs will follow them that believe what you preached. Well, what's going to happen? In my name shall they, the believers, the hearers, they will cast out devils. They will cast them out. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. Say, shall recover. Say, shall recover. Say, I'm a believer. I've heard the gospel. I believe the gospel. I am saved and not damned. I cast out devils in the name of Jesus. They don't have a choice. I speak with new tongues as the Holy Ghost gives me utterance. If the devil tries to hurt me with a rattlesnake or anything else like that, or he tries to poison me, it will not hurt me. When I lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. This is a renewing of the mind, see? This is a renewing of the mind. Our minds have to start thinking like who we really are. This is what the master said. And we've got to finish it here. Okay, verse 18, they shall take up serpents. If they drink any deadly thing, it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick, and they shall recover. So then after the Lord had spoken unto them, he was received up into heaven and set on the right hand of God. And they, that's the 11, went forth and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming what? Confirming the word with signs following. You might as well say the gospel. It's the gospel that they preached. The same gospel that he preached. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to open the eyes of the blind, to preach deliverance to the captive. And I can't quote it all. But you know what all's in there? That same gospel. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. And I'm telling you right now, God is with you. Who is doing this confirming? The Lord. It says the Lord himself. I've been looking through Acts. Time and again, they would say things like this. Peter would say, Jesus of Nazareth forgives you. Jesus of Nazareth heals you. Jesus of Nazareth. Jesus. One way, it's the Lord still doing his ministry, but now he is doing it by the agency of the Holy Ghost through us. But it is still the Lord. Get over yourself. Take a big sigh of relief. You don't have to produce the miracles. Your job is to preach the word. Your job is to share. And not everyone's called to preach. Not everyone's an apostle. But we are all called to be witnesses. See, and that's one point that I want to make from now. Back up. Yes, sir. Go slow, he said. You want to know what I just heard? It's kind of like, slow down. And I heard it in Dave's voice from that, you know the parable he does. Slow down. Go to Luke. We're going to look at the final instructions in Luke here. I don't know if we should. Okay, we're doing pretty good. We're going to go slow, right? Okay. My goodness. Okay. It's chapter 24, of course. Okay. Verse 1. Now upon the first day of the week, very early in the morning, they came unto the sepulcher. This is the women. Bringing the spices which they had prepared and certain others with them. And they found the stone rolled away from the sepulcher. They entered in and found not the body of the Lord Jesus. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, Why seek you the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, The Son of Man must be delivered into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. And they remembered his words, and returned from the sepulchre, and told all these things unto the 11. Say 11. And to all the rest. And now notice who it was. It was Mary Magdalene, and Joanna, and Mary, the mother of James, and other women that were with them, which told these things unto the apostles. Now this is not my message today, but let me just tell you, women, the first persons to ever preach the message, He is risen, were women. You are commissioned to preach that message. And notice who they preached it to. They preached it to the 11. They preached it to the apostles. And who doubted? The apostles. Don't you find that amazing? That the first people to ever preach He is risen are these women. More to come on that another day. And their words seemed to them as idle tales, and they believed them not. Then arose Peter and ran unto the sepulcher, and stooping down, he beheld the linen cloths laid by themselves and departed, wondering in himself at that which was come to pass. And behold, two of them went that same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. I don't know how far that is. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself, say that with me, Jesus himself. I believe all of us are about to have some more encounters with Jesus himself. Jesus himself. Say it again. Jesus himself. Say, I need more encounters with you. Jesus yourself. You're welcome. The door is open. Don't just stand there and knock. Come on in. Anyway, I know we use that verse all the time to get people saved, but that's really talking about a church, you know. Instead, he's standing at the door knocking. He's talking at one of the five churches there in Revelations, and he's saying, they won't let me in. And that's another message for another day. Now watch this, verse 15. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. I can't help it. Listen, this year of power, everywhere you go, Jesus himself is going to go with you. He's been that way the whole time. He said, I'll never leave you nor forsake you. But we're coming into an awareness that Jesus himself. Let me just ask you, what is not possible when Jesus himself is with you? Smith Wigglesworth, I'm beginning to understand a little better why he wouldn't even allow a newspaper in his house. See, he lived in a world like we live in the world, and I think it's worse now probably than it was then because of the onslaught of all the media all the time, all the time, all the time. And see, the kingdom life flows upstream from a world that's on its way to hell. Everything in the world is negative and unbelief and doubt and sin, and but we're on a different path. We're on this narrow path, as he said to some. We've chosen that narrow path, and we're going upstream. And it's important to keep your mind on the things of the kingdom of God. And it was just a newspaper. It wasn't a porno mag, or it wasn't something, I probably didn't even have that then, but it wasn't something evil like that. It was just a newspaper. And Smith said, only truth is allowed in my house. Put your hand right over your heart and say, only truth is allowed in my heart. No lies. Only truth is allowed in my house. Isn't that good? Isn't that good? Verse 16, but their eyes were holden that they should not know him. They didn't know for sure who he was. And he said unto them, what manner of communications are these that ye have to one another as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, what things? Now remember again what David told us so often. When the Holy Spirit asks you a question, he's not looking for information. he's about to teach you something, okay? Well, what things? He's asking a question. What things? You tell me. And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word before God and all the people, and how the chief priests and our rulers delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the women had said, but him they saw not. And he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all the prophets, all that the prophets have spoken, ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went. And he made as though he would have gone further, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it and brake and gave to them. And their eyes were opened, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11, say 11. I have a reason. They found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them, saying, now here's the second witness. The Lord is risen indeed. The 11 were there. The women came. Said, the Lord is risen. They doubted. Now, here comes these two persons. And they're saying, we're telling you, the Lord is risen indeed and hath appeared to Simon. Okay, so maybe I'm saying that a little wrong. Maybe they're saying to them, hey, while you guys were gone, the Lord appeared to Simon. Either way you want to take it. What we're headed for is really good. And they told what things were done in the way and how he was known of them in breaking of bread. Now get this. And as they thus spake, Jesus himself, say it again, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them. Oh, you don't have to keep talking. I just want to say Jesus himself. I want us to get it. It's not some doctrine. I love doctrine. Don't get me wrong. It's Jesus himself. We're about to have some encounters. He's with you all the time. But I'm telling you, you're about to have some encounters with Jesus himself. He will open up your eyes. You're going to see it in a minute. He's going to open your understanding. He does it by the power of the Holy Ghost. He especially does it while you're meditating and praying in other tongues. See, you think you're so smart getting that revelation knowledge? No, you're not. It's him opening up your understanding. Trust me, I have sat in college. The guy that did me the most harm ever in my Christian walk was this guy who had the Bible, I started to say memorized. It wasn't really that. He had a photographic mind. And for him, you could just mention a chapter and verse, and he could just quote it to you verbatim. You could follow right along. King James, it wasn't memory. He told us what it was. He says, I have a photographic mind. I'm not doing it from memory. I see it. I see the page. That guy knew the Bible, could quote the Bible from front to back. He knew the Word of God, but I'm telling you right now, he did not know the God of the Word. He wouldn't have known the Holy Ghost if the Holy Ghost had come through town wearing a red hat that said Holy Ghost on it. He said, I have not heard there even so much as be a Holy Ghost, you know. Anyway, get back to our lesson. Verse 36, and as they thus spake, Jesus himself stood in the midst of them, and he saith unto them, peace be unto you. But they were terrified. I like this word, and affrighted. It's King James, but I like it. Affrighted. And supposed that they had seen a spirit. And he said unto them, why are you troubled? And why do thoughts arise in your hearts? I love this. Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself. Say it with me. I myself. Handle me and see. Now, when he first appeared, the first woman that saw him, she was going to touch him. Remember right at the sepulcher? And he says, touch me not. I have not yet ascended to my Father. So here he says, handle me. What does that mean? He's already ascended and come back now. His blood's already on the mercy seat. He's back now. But now notice what he says. Handle me and see. For a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have. Now this is a mystery that I'm still praying out. This one's still in the oven. I'll give you a biscuit, not the whole loaf. Think about this. John says, in the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. All things were made by him. And without him was not anything made that was made. Not one single thing. So this Word that has always existed is always God. He wasn't just like God. He was God. This second member of the Godhead that to us is such a mystery. How many gods are there, people? One. Yet he's manifested Father, Son, and Holy Ghost. You know, and our little finite minds just have to take that by faith pretty much. But I do. I take it by faith. But this God, second member of the Godhead, the one who created all things, the Word, forever now has changed His form. And He is seated at the right hand of the Father in a glorified body now. But that body, now this is hard now. Your brain's about to leak out your left ear. He's seated next to the Father in a body that has flesh and bone. Now it's not fallen flesh. It's glorified flesh. And someday we're going to get a glorified body like His. And I don't know what it's made out of. And you don't either. Don't write me no letters. But isn't this member of the Godhead, God, has forever, all eternity, changed His form. He so has identified with us. I lose words right there, you know. So much more to that than we presently understand. Boy, He's on our side. I know that. I'm glad it's Him ever living to make intercession for me and for you. But He says it. He says, "Behold my hands and my feet, that it is I myself." Say it again. I myself. "Handle me and see, for a spirit hath not flesh and bones, as you see me have." And when He had thus spoken, He showed them His hands and feet. And while they yet believed not for joy and wondered, He said unto them, "Have you here any meat?" And they gave Him a piece of broiled fish and of a honeycomb. And He took it and did eat before. And He said unto them, now I said all that to get to these. I was going to start here. "These are the words which I spake unto you while I was yet with you, that all things must be fulfilled, which were written in the law of Moses, and in the prophets, and in the Psalms concerning me." Then opened He their understanding, that they might understand the Scriptures. Hold your place right there and go to Ephesians 1. Verse 16, Ephesians 1, 16. Verse 15. I'm trying. "Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all the saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers." Now notice, "that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him." Now notice, "the eyes of your understanding being enlightened." Who does it? It's the Holy Spirit, but it's God. When you get real revelation, I mean, we do our part. We meditate the Word. We assimilate the books. We pray in tongues. Don't ever start getting prideful. If you get something from God, He gave it to you. He gave it to you. You know why apostles are the greatest? Because they have to lay down their lives the most. They're the servants more. The way up in the kingdom is the way down. The greatest among you shall be your servant. Paul said of himself one time, he used a term, a Greek word that's only used for the galley slave. He said, I am your servant in the gospel. And the word that he used there, that word is only ever used, not just for a slave, but for a galley slave. Now, galley slaves were the ones that were, you've seen it in movies, where they're those boats that had the oars on the sides, you know, those old ships that had the oars on the side, and the slaves were down in the hole of the ship where it's dirty and dank and there's no windows. And can you imagine what it smelled like down there? And there's a guy beating a drum for cadence on how fast they're supposed to row, and another guy with a whip, you know, whipping them if they don't do it right. And that's the very, think about it, the galley slave never gets to see the scenery. The galley slave never gets to enjoy whatever country they're going to. They never get the good food. There's nothing pleasant at all. The only purpose of the galley slave is to get the ship where it needs to go. And that's the apostle. There's a great ship called the body of Christ. And the apostle says, I'm not here as a tourist. I'm not here to enjoy. I'm here to get this ship where it needs to go. and I am your slave for Christ's sake. God. Verse 45, then opened he, say he, then opened he their understanding, that they might understand the scriptures. When you're praying in other tongues, do you know that's exactly what the Lord is doing? When you meditate the word and assimilate and do all the things that are taught here, you're just doing your part. But when the revelation comes, trust me, it is he that is opening your understanding. I don't even try and figure it out anymore. I made too many mistakes along the way trying to figure it out. I don't even try anymore. I really don't. I just do exactly what Pastor Dave taught. I assimilate the book and I pray in tongues. And I might look up a Greek definition once in a while if I don't know what that word means. But I've given up trying to figure it out. He opens my understanding. He opens my understanding. And it's the same with you. Okay? And he said unto them, verse 46, thus it is written, and thus it behooved Christ to suffer and to rise from the dead the third day. And that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name. Here we go again. Among how many nations? He said it again. Every time he told. It's because it's one event recorded by three different authors. But he told them right then, you're going to take this gospel to the Gentiles. You're going to take this gospel to the nations, beginning at Jerusalem. That's why Paul said, first to the Jew, then to the Gentile. But it's to all the nations. And notice what the message is. Again, part of that radical grace thing that's going around says, you are so forgiven, you don't even need to repent. Yet Jesus says the message that is to be preached in my name is repentance and remission of sins. Repentance, boy, it gets quiet. And remission of sins. And you are witnesses of these things. And here he says, and behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry you in the city of Jerusalem until you be endued with power from on high. That's he wanted them to stay there. Don't leave yet. Don't even try and be my witnesses until you've received the power. Don't even try and preach this gospel without the Holy Ghost. Well, chapter 1 of Acts is where he tells them. He says, you know, we already read that verse. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the earth. But now let's go look at it. Go to Acts chapter 1. Let's look at verse 13 for a minute. Now, I want you to see the context because I'm just doing it in the sequence he gave me. We're about to read Acts chapter 1, verse 15, or actually verse 13. But back up here where we've already been. Look at Acts chapter 1, verse 8. You shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and in all Judea and in Samaria and unto the uttermost part of the earth. And we know from Luke's account, which we just read, don't leave Jerusalem. Stay in Jerusalem. All right? Here in a little bit, it's going to say they were in the upper room all in one accord. What that means is they were all agreed to do what he said. We're not leaving town. They're going, how long is it going to be till we receive the power? And they said, have you heard of our father Abraham? Who he told to leave everything he knew and go into a city that he shall show him, or go into a country that he shall show him. We don't know how long. He just said, don't leave Jerusalem. And we're all in agreement. We ain't leaving till we get the power. We ain't leaving till it happens. So now in that context, verse 13, and they were come in and they went up into an upper room. Now, I kept saying all through this message, notice 11. Notice 11. We all are familiar with the 11 apostles. You know, Judas went out and hung himself. So we got 11, right? But now, when he said this to them, Notice how many people are in the upper room. And he said, you're going to receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon you. All right. Let's see if it was only 11 in the upper room here. Now look at verse 13. And they were come in and they went up into an upper room where abode both Peter and, here's the 11, Peter and James and John and Andrew, Philip and Thomas, Bartholomew, Matthew, James, the son of Alphaeus, and Simon Zelotes, and Judas, the brother of James. They all continued with one accord in prayer. In other words, we're all in agreement why we're here. There is a purpose to this prayer meeting. Jesus told us to stay here and not leave until we receive this power. We're all in accord. We're all in agreement. We ain't leaving. Hello, prayer center. But a bunch of them did because he appeared to more than 500. But notice how many's here. It tells you how many. These all continued with one accord in prayer and supplication with the women and Mary, the mother of Jesus. Mary, the mother of Jesus, is in that room. And with his brethren, the same ones that thought he was crazy before. And in those days, Peter stood up in the midst of the disciples and said, now the only reason we're not going to go through this whole thing except for you got to see how many was there. The number of names together were about 11. No? 120. Now wait a minute. He said, you shall receive power after the Holy Spirit comes on you. But we know that's only for the 11. So the Holy Ghost must have only come on the 11. Because Jesus said, no, when the Holy Ghost comes on you, you are going to receive power. Now we already know there's about 120 in the upper room. You know what's coming, right? Look at chapter 2. And when the day of Pentecost was fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They're still there. They have not left. And suddenly there came a sound from heaven as of a rushing mighty wind, and it filled all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared unto them cloven tongues like as of fire, and it sat upon each of them, and the 11 were filled with the Holy Ghost. Oh, they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. Now, wait a minute. There's 120. And it's not just men. There's men and women. Even the mother of Jesus, Mary, is there. But the promise is to her as much as it is to the 11. You shall receive power after the Holy Spirit has come upon you. Now, I'm not preaching everybody is an apostle. That's obviously not the truth. But what is truth? If you believe and you lay hands on the sick, you have the same power flowing through you that the apostle has flowing through him. It's not two different Holy Ghosts. It's one Holy Ghost. And it is the Lord confirming his word with signs following. And you have it based on the words of Jesus himself. If you will believe this message, when you lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And you don't have to be an apostle. You don't have to be a male. You can be a woman. You can be. All you need is the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Now there are gifts of the Spirit. We've taught on that so many times. I don't think we really need to touch on that again tonight. You can be a baby. You don't even have to be born again for the gifts of the Spirit to flow through you. He had me do a research one time. I have found 7 of the 9 gifts in manifestation in the Old Testament. The only two you won't find is tongues and interpretation of tongues. Those two are reserved strictly for the new covenant. But all the rest of them you can find. That tells you that the Holy Spirit can come. That's how he would come on the prophets of old. They're spiritually dead men, but still working of miracles and gifts of healing and words of knowledge and prophecy would come even on them. Well, if it would come on them and they were spiritually dead, and you are spiritually alive and you are actually his child, how much more should you expect them to come on you? That's why Paul, when he finished that chapter, he wasn't saying dismiss the gifts. He said, covet earnestly the best gifts. Yet show I unto you a more excellent way. Y'all getting anything out of this? I'm preaching myself happy. I don't know about you. Go to 1 Peter chapter 3. This is my first closing. It doesn't mean a thing in the world. 1 Peter chapter 3. Here's another thing to all believers. Not everybody's called to be an apostle. There's many gifts in the body, but we're all called to do some things. And I really like this one. 1 Peter chapter 3, look at verse 15. But sanctify the Lord God in your hearts, and be ready always to give an answer to every man that asks you a reason of the hope that is in you, with meekness and fear. Don't do it as a know-it-all. Don't do it as somewhat among them. But always be ready to share the hope. See, I especially love it right now. Alan is going through a struggle right now. I'm trying to word it carefully because of the legalists out there. I've walked through those things myself. I've walked through it. Not every healing is instantaneous, you know. But right now, even if somebody was to approach Alan and said, "Boy, you serve God? Doesn't look to me like he's serving you too well." You think Alan's going to let that lie? He says, "Let me tell you about the hope that is in me. This isn't over yet. Are you ready?" I wrote this little note for me and you. He says, "Always be ready to give every man that asks you a reason for the hope that's in you, with meekness and fear." And the question is, are you ready? Right in the midst of your struggle. See, if we really take this in context, back up one verse. Verse 14. The context is this: But if you suffer. Boy, that's a word we don't like in the American church, you know. "But and if you suffer for righteousness' sake, happy are you. Be not afraid of their terror, neither be troubled." So you're getting persecution for being a Christian, see. And right in the midst of that, you're still joyful. You're still at peace. They don't understand what's wrong with you. How can you be like that? Let me tell you about the hope that's in me. Let me tell you about the hope that's in me. Verse 16, "having a good conscience, that whereas they speak of you as of evildoers, they may be ashamed that falsely accuse your good conversation in Christ. For it is better, if the will of God be so, that you suffer for well-doing than for evil-doing." Right in the midst of your struggle, hope should be alive on the inside of you. A different picture on the inside than what is on the outside. And always be ready to give a reason for that hope. Okay, let's look at another one. Well, I'll just quote this one to you. You don't have to turn there. I'm sorry, getting ahead of myself. See, I got to slow down. Go to Philippians chapter 2. Now, again, this one is not written to the 11. This letter is not written to the 12. It's not written to apostles. It's written to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper. This is a thank you letter that Paul wrote, basically, to the church at Philippi. They had sent a gift by the hands of a man named Epaphroditus. And he's writing a letter thanking them for their gift and also doing some teaching, you know. So this letter is to Joe Public and Mary Wallpaper, the people of the church at Philippi or at Tulsa. So what he says to them, he says to us. So he says here in chapter 2, the real verse I'm after is verse 16. Let's back up a little bit. I like verse 13. "It is God which worketh in you." Just say that with me. It's God working in me. "Both to will and to do of His good pleasure." Whew. We could do a conference right there. And he says, "But do all things without murmuring and disputing, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world." Now here's the verse. "Holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain." When he says holding forth the word of life, See, not everybody's called to be an apostle. Not everybody's called to be an evangelist. Not everybody's called to be a teacher. But everybody's called to be a witness. When he says holding forth the word of life, everybody can quote John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Hold forth the word of life. Even a babe in Christ can quote that verse, see? Now, they may hate you for saying it. They may think you're a bigot in a narrow way, you know. They'll start all these discussions about what about this and what about that. Only know Christ and him crucified. Just, there's no other gospel for them. Until they receive Christ and him crucified, you're just wasting your time. They have no spirit in them to know the things of God. Okay, that's 1 Corinthians 2. All right. This is the last verse on my page. You're relatively safe. Go to Acts chapter 2. There's going to be a lot more coming on this verse than what we can get in today. When it says over there in Mark 16, where we read that verse, the Lord working with them, confirming the word with signs following, the word them is in italics, meaning it's not really there. So in the Greek, it actually says, the Lord working with and confirming the word with signs following. Always remember this. The anointing is on the word. Say it with me. The anointing is on the word. Say it. God cannot lie. God and his word are one. His word does not return unto him void. When it says the Lord working with them, if you look that word up in the Greek, it's the Greek word kurios, K-U-R-I-O-S. I've been doing a lot of study about that word. Because I was going, you'll find in Acts where at one point they pray, Lord, stretch forth thy hand that signs and that with all boldness we may preach thy word, that signs and wonders be done in the name of thy holy child Jesus. Well, they're obviously talking to the Father there, right? Kurios. That's the Greek word kurios. When he says, Lord, be done through the name of thy son Jesus. Yet our confession where it says in Romans chapter 10, where it says, if you believe in your heart that God has raised him from the dead and confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord, guess what word? Kurios. Now, wait a minute. We got God the Father as kurios, and then we got Jesus is curious. And I'm going, here we go. Infinite God trying to reveal himself to finite people. And I'm going, well, what do you mean the Lord working with me? And if that's not bad enough, when Jesus says, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, who's that? That's the Holy Ghost. But he calls him there the Spirit of the Lord. It's curious. So now I've got curious attached to all three. I told you there's only one God. And he is Lord, the one God. But in our dispensation, look at this verse. We ought to take up an offering right now for this. No, Acts 2:36. In this dispensation, therefore let all the house of Israel know assuredly that God, and that's the word theos, hath made that same Jesus whom you have crucified. Now notice, both Lord, that's kurios, and Christ, Christos. Hebrew, it would be Messiah. He is both Lord and Savior. So when it says the Lord working with them, the best way it works for me is Christ himself. Now, I know it's by the agency of the Holy Ghost. I know he is physically in his glorified body, seated at the right hand of the Father in heaven. Yet, he appears all the time in visions and dreams, and that's all by the agency of the Holy Ghost. It's amazing. However many people's in here right now, he could right at this instant appear to each one of you right now in a vision and never leave heaven. Isn't that right? But when it says the Lord working with them, you've got to understand, It is His ministry. It's not you producing the miracles. It's not by your holiness. It's not really by anything that we're doing. It is Him, Himself, confirming the word with signs following. Our job is to hold forth the word of life. Don't dilute it. Don't change it. Don't tamper with it. Give it the same way, give it to them the same way He gave it to us. And if we do that, the promise is He will confirm the word with signs following. Did you get anything out of that? Okay. I think I did good. Okay. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Praise God. Now, we're coming into the year of power. And this power is not just going to be in the services. It's not going to be, thank God for coming to church and thank God for prayer lines and all of that. But I am telling you, this revival is going to be a revival of signs and wonders at Walmart, in the schools, on your job, in the parks, everywhere. It's going to sweep this nation. And it is the Lord Himself working with us with signs following. All right, I got to stop. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you and praise you for your word. Thank you that you do not change, that you cannot lie, that you're still confirming your word with signs following. Father, our job is to hold fast and confess your word and speak the word and hold forth that word of life. But we have all confidence, Father, that you will, Lord, that you will confirm that word with signs following. We thank you that you yourself are with us and that you go with us. And you're still doing signs and wonders. In Jesus' name. Amen.